Eh beh, oh. Hello, Bill.
Hi, Nancy. I'm unmuted.
Pardon?
I'm not muted. I just wanted to make sure that I was on the right spot and I wasn't muted.
Me too. So I'm going to go dark and mute.
Okay.
Me Bye. Too.
Bye. Hi, Michael.
Hi, Bill. How are you doing?
Oh, getting older by the day. Hello, Billy.
Hey, buddy. Now I got to mute myself.
Hey, Billy.
Yes. Where are you at?
The surveyor was next door.
What?
The surveyor was next door.
Yeah, okay. I asked him to come to check some stuff out for me.
Okay.
How will you be quiet? I'm babysitting a dog. A bulldog.
Gotta get my list. Hey, Dennis.
Hi, Michael.
Thank you for the invite.
Yeah.
So, I think we'll call the meeting to order, and if Martin can join in, we'll join in.
Oh, is Dennis here?
Yeah, Dennis is there. Can't you see him?
No.
He's putting Vaseline on that damn camera of his again.
Just a second now. Okay. There we go.
All right. Okay. I'd like to call this meeting to order at 7 p.m. my time. Regular monthly meeting. Wednesday, June 10th. Public forum, well, we haven't any yet. I need to review, approve the agenda or additions to the agenda. Has anybody got any additions or requests to the agenda?
Just the add the audit committee minutes.
Okay, new business or?
No, under minutes.
Okay, I'm looking here. Okay, let's see, so it's audit.
4C.
4C, audit committee minutes. Okay, also, I'm requesting the deletion of the letter from Sally Rogenizer and Jim Mullane, Montreal, Quebec, for the reasons that we can't get in touch with them. I don't know who they are. Did some investigation, can't find the names and the roles anywhere, tax rolls or anything. So unless somebody has a problem with it, I'd like to remove 6A. And 6C. Having said all that, we need a motion to approve the agenda with the adding of 4C, Audit Committee Minutes, and deletion of 6A and 6C.
So moved. Okay, I'll second.
Moved and second. Joanne moved. Nancy second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Carried. Aye. All right. Now we're looking at 4, review approval of minutes. This is the regular meeting minutes for May 13th, 2020. They are 1 through 5 in your package. Has anybody got any, hopefully you had a chance to look them over. Has anybody got a problem with them?
If I may, Chair?
Yeah.
In the minutes, when discussing the Legion letter, it states that the fire department rented the hall and informed that they will provide their own catering. We inquired if we could provide an outside caterer, as the Legion had difficulty providing volunteers due to that large event the next day, and that they required the venue be clean that night. So we didn't just ask to rent and tell them we were bringing our own. We asked if we could. With everything that they had going on.
What page is that on, Everett?
Page 2, item 6B, correspondence.
Oh, thank you. I don't have a problem with a change there. It sounds as though the fire department was telling the Legion that they're going to bring in their own. There's no context in it.
Okay, we have to make the change into it. Dennis or Maxine, do you have a problem with that?
Well, as usual, I never know what Everett is saying. I don't know what he said. You said it in writing. You want to change? Send it in writing.
Okay. It is attached to my report, Clerk Treasurer.
Okay. So, any other questions, comments? If not, I'd like to get a motion to...
Bill.
I beg your pardon, what?
I beg your pardon myself, on page 3.
Page 3, okay.
Commissioner Hatch expressed a need to support our local financial institutions, mm-hmm. and our investments should stay at the bank. Mm-hmm. That sounds a little dictatorial. I recommended that they stay at the bank. It's a small deal. If you want to change it, fine, Dennis. If you don't, fine with me.
All right. At least you brought it up. I really don't, you know.
I would agree with Nancy. Wording is everything.
So.
You want me to send that to you, Dennis, in writing?
Yeah, good.
That makes it easier. So now I'm looking.
Sorry, I didn't hear Dennis's reply.
He said yes. Yeah.
You want it in writing. Okay, thank you.
So now I'm looking for a motion to approve Wednesday, May 13th, 2020 minutes with changes to 6B, which Chief Hiltz will forward, and also changes to, which one is that? That's
7.
On page 3.
I think it's 7A.
Paragraph 2. Yeah, it'd be 7A. Yeah, paragraph 2 on page 3. And then Commissioner Hatch will forward for change. So, need to move? Need that moved in second, please.
So move.
Martin moved it.
As amended.
As amended, yeah. Need a second.
Second.
Nancy, Commissioner Hatch seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carried. Now we're looking at the minutes from the Building Committee meeting February 4th. Page 6 and 7 of your agenda.
I move that we accept those minutes as received.
Seconder, please.
They've already been approved by the Building Committee.
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carried. Thank you.
Ice cream.
Jesus, what are you talking about? Now we have 4C. It's the Audit Committee minutes. We discussed them back at that night, and there's no page for them, but the clerk sent them to us. It was Village of Chester Audit Committee meeting June 4th at 12 noon. And we've already reviewed them at that time. And did a motion on it. Motion number 20-205. But I think we should bring them in and put them in here and have a motion to approve the audit committee minutes tonight at this regular meeting. I need to move someone to move and second, please.
I move that we approve the minutes of the audit committee meeting of Wednesday of
June 4th.
June 4th.
Okay, are these the ones that were these minutes, Dennis, Lawrence Lake had asked for an amendment?
Yes.
These are the amended minutes?
No, yeah. These minutes, well, you saw the amendment. He sent it to everybody.
Right, yes, yeah, saw the amendment. So can we
have this change?
Yeah, so can we move that the minutes as amended be approved?
Well, it's not really amended. They haven't been approved to begin with. It's not an amendment. You didn't make you amend something when it's approved. So what Walsh did is he just edited it.
You did make those changes though, didn't you, Dennis?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
And he sent it to everybody.
Yeah.
I sent the minutes, he sent the changes, and I made the change. So you already saw the changes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I have a motion on the floor. Need a seconder, please.
I'll second.
Okay, Joanne, second. Commissioner Grant, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Okay, business arising. Item number 5, we had a motion number 20-202, which is page 8 and 9 of the agenda. And we made that was to do, and Dennis, you can jump in and clarify if I make a mistake here. That was
the thing, Bill. Okay, everybody, if you look at the previous meeting minutes on page 4 in your package, you'll see request for decision. It's under new business, item B, annual public meeting and election dates. After we passed that motion, the government sent the directive on page 8, which I put in there, and said, whoa, no annual public meetings during the virus. There were about the majority of municipal villages were ready to get their annual meeting organized as we were. And I did mention that we we need to purchase items and probably do it by Zoom. But now they came out with a directive, so we have to rescind that motion. So we need somebody to make a motion to rescind motion 20-202.
Everybody understand that one? And then we'll venture back at a later date here and reset the meeting for the AGM, reset the meeting for the election, and so on and so forth.
I will move that we rescind motion 20-202 with regard to the dates for the 2020 Village Annual Public Meeting and Election.
Okay, we have that moved. I need a seconder, please.
I'll second that.
Okay, heard Martin's voice first. So Martin second, Nancy moved to rescind motion 20-202, AGM and the elections. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carried. Now we're 5B, 10 to 14. In the package, page 10 to 14 in the package, relating to future interest rates, et cetera, NFC and Scotiabank. So there's 10 to 14. And Dennis, can you just bring us up to speed quickly?
Yeah, page 10 was the interest rates from the bank, 1 year GIC, 9 months. And then Municipal Finance Corp presented their rates on page 11. And page 13 and 14 show what we have for in reserves coming up June 25th and in July. So those are the amounts that we're looking at, leaving them where they are, putting them into, you know, something locked in with the Scotiabank or moving it to Municipal Finance Corp.
Well, I see that you have on page 10 a note from John Campbell that was May 27th. I don't know whether those rates of 1.59% 1 year cashable are still good. And the non-redeemable, that seems, well, that's his writing. But that's better than the 0.85% from MFC.
Yeah, but I imagine the interest rates may change again. I'm hearing something shaking with the government. When's our next meeting?
July 9th and 8th.
All right. So this that one change is the 25th, wasn't it, Dennis? June 25th?
Yes.
Is the commission opposed, say, on the 24th? I don't even know what day that is on my calendar.
That's a Wednesday.
Wednesday. Is the commission opposed to having a special meeting to deal with that topic alone? Probably on a 15-20 minute meeting, half hour meeting, we'll say. What's the pleasure of the commission?
Check my calendar.
That way we'd have an up-to-date interest rate. And
I think we should have the facts.
Michael.
Facts are always good.
Are you opposed to on
the, no, I'm not opposed.
The day before this changes over to sort of have a quick special meeting to discuss that, either to keep it there or to move it on. I mean, to keep it there right now, if we want to do that, we can do that too. Make the motion and keep it there for.
We should have the most current interest rates.
Yes, Michael, I agree.
Good. Martin, what's your thoughts? Or Dennis, what's your thoughts?
I'm good with Wednesday. No problem at all on the 24th there.
What are you thinking, Dennis?
No, whatever. This is just dragging on too long. I don't think the interest rates are going to see much, but if you want to do it again, what time of the day?
It's on a Wednesday. Joanne, are you working?
Yes.
Ooh, what time do you work?
Well, I took 6 hours off today for this meeting. I'm working 12 hours, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m.
I have a question, Bill. Can this be done through an email polling? Dennis phones get
should be able to.
Pardon?
It should be able to, as long as everybody in the commission doesn't mind it. Send back, as long as everybody will send back and say, this is what I'd like to see. And what do you think? My God, you guys are quiet tonight.
Well, okay, I'm going to throw my 2 cents worth in. I agree about having the facts. However, if you look at what they're comparing, this is really quite a flip from the information that we were given, I guess it was last fall.
Yeah.
So to compare the rates as of May 27th, 1.59, with the ones that were provided May 20th, to 0.85 and 0.90, we all know that they're going to change somewhat, but that's a significant flip from what they had been when we had them come in. I'd be prepared to say for the June one that we just, you know, roll it over.
So what's the pleasure? So, you know, I'm not worried about rolling it over either. And if Dennis all of a sudden finds out that we're down to 0%, he could contact us very quickly. What do you think?
We could do that. We could just roll it over. It's easier. It's quick.
Nancy?
I have a question with regard to the apparatus reserve and the Lido reserve. On page 14, I think the amount of $151,000 and the other amount of $30,000 and change that was deposited in a GIC on September 23rd, I think that was that a 9-month one, Dennis, so that it matures at the same time on June 25th?
No, that's the dates I have.
We haven't hit September 23rd, 20 yet.
I'm asking if it was a 9-month investment to mature on June 25th.
I don't know. I'd have to look it up.
But the date on it is September 23rd,
2020. When it comes to, yeah.
Well, I don't have a problem rolling it over either with Bank of Nova Scotia. But it would be a good idea to find out what the rates are on June the 24th.
Yeah.
You're still going to need a meeting in order to get a motion.
We can't make a motion over the email?
No. No, it has to be a meeting. Because dealing with this amount of money, it has to be a meeting.
Okay. I got a question. Joanne's there at 9 o'clock in the morning, and she's 12 hours. It's sort of unreasonable for us to expect Joanne to lose 6 hours pay. Good a group as we are, it's not fair.
See, the thing is, I could probably duck out and get into a Zoom meeting, but I can't be guaranteed that I'm going to be able to do that.
So,
you know, crisis hits or something.
Yeah, I understand, especially where you're working. So, Joanne, if there's only Michael, Martin, Nancy, myself, and Dennis, and you can't join on, do you have a problem if we move them, just roll it over? Knowing what's right now.
Bill. No, I don't have a problem.
Bill.
Yes, Nancy.
If we get the information on the Wednesday before the meeting,
yeah,
and we get an opinion from Joanne, we still have a quorum to make the motion and pass it.
Well, that's what I'm trying to get across. If she can't make it, and it's unfair for her to lose 6 hours, because that's a big chunk of change. And until the commission has provisions to subsidize us when we lose money, you know. So we'll put that off, Dennis, and make the decision on Wednesday, the 24th, was it?
Yes.
Okay, so in that case, that's going to have to be advertised as a special meeting 3 days ahead of time, am I right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And let's set a time at, I got a Zoom meeting at 1:30. Set time what? Noon hour or 11:30?
Fine with me.
Michael? Michael?
Send me a link.
Martin? Okay.
So 11:30.
11:30 on the 24th. And with luck, you'll have some information for us.
Motion for that meeting?
We need a motion from somebody, please.
So move.
Martin moved. Nancy second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carried. Thank you. Now, 10:14. Where's my piece of paper? So we move into correspondence. We have a letter which showing as 6B, which is really now 6A, dealing with anybody read it?
Yep.
Page 16. Anybody got any comments on it? I thought it was rather nice that they contacted us.
Yeah, apparently they included that area in their beautification grant. So that's fine if we can get something beautified at no cost. I have no issue with that.
No. I like that they contacted us, right? Just didn't want to go ahead and do things.
Heather Henniger was at the Parade Square this morning with the Garden Club and Stephanie Beaumont and myself, because that's the area that they were looking at. I did say that one of the things that we would be interested in would be the ABCO stainless steel waste receptacles. So hopefully that would come to fruition. And the ones that are rotting can be disposed of. This is something that we discussed with Daryl 2 years ago,
a year
and a half ago.
Yeah. Nancy, it sounds suspiciously like you volunteered. Thank you.
I didn't.
Oh, dog walking. Anyway, Anita, I'd like to get a motion on the correspondence, please, and which is really this letter.
But we do have to assign a representative.
Any volunteers? I don't really want to throw a dart at my screen because it'll ruin the screen. So, boys, you guys are quiet tonight. Anybody want to? I know Joanne can't because she's just too busy. Anybody want to deal? link in with this garden club?
It's with the municipality, really?
Yeah.
Okay, I volunteer.
Thank you, Nancy. So, we have Nancy volunteer. Now, I'd still like to get a motion on the correspondence so I can vet this.
So what's the motion? To accept this?
Yes, just to accept this.
Okay, I'll move that.
Moved. Second, please.
Yes, come on, guys.
You're slow off the mark. Michael, thank you. Michael, all right, having that, all those in favor, please.
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carried. Thank you, Nancy. Now we're moving along to reports. 7, clerk treasurer, please.
Mine's on page 18. First thing, Mason has completed the work at the pool. They poured the cement. I think it was beginning of this week I was down there. They were pouring it. They had the forms up.
Yeah, did a good job too.
Yeah. And the next part we have to do is once it dries in another week, get it painted. And I got a quote from Paul Mulrooney to paint it. Take a couple hours, $30 an hour. Our big problem down there, Bill and I were down there. Yeah. If anybody else ventured down to the pool, the wood section is not safe. It has totally moved. It's way worse than last year. A big concrete slab was pushed over there, broke off at the edge of the wood part, and it has to be roped off. So you have to decide, what are we going to do? Are we going to fix that this year or close off that section of the pool? Secondly, are we going to open our pool? Today, Bridgewater, town of Bridgewater, announced that their meeting last night, their pool is not going to be opened. If we don't open our pool, it's a great opportunity to make the repair on that whole wharf section, tear it down. And we got two quotes, if you recall, when we were looking at budget. Mason discussed in his quote of removing the whole wood dock, keeping the existing railings because they're quite nice and they're made galvanized steel, I believe, and putting something down concrete to last in that area. And his price was $38,900 plus HST. Land and Sea gave us a quote to remove everything there and replace it with 8 feet by 24 feet pile driven wharf deck. Total cost $28,000. Over $10,000 less. Concrete, you take a lot more work. I guess pile driven into the ground might be better, but we have to do something. So you got two decisions to make here. Are you going to open the pool or are you going to close it and let that work take place? And with Martin, you could speak to it. Accessibility, maybe we could look at accessibility for handicapped people at the bottom of the pool, making an entrance there. I know there's one spot for someone to park, and perhaps we could do that and be ready for accessibility. So that's in my report.
Dennis, did anybody tell you or ask to tell you roughly how long it would take once they get at it?
No. I imagine right now, Bill, that contractors got their work lined up. I called them tomorrow and say, when can you get at it? Well, they're probably on other projects already, and they'll probably say maybe another month. I called Danny Bootler, and he said he's so busy he's got no time to even go down and look at it. So it's hard to get people. They try to get their work lined up. And, we may get lucky and the guy may be able to start next week if I call somebody, but it might be another month. So, and if we open the pool, that area would have to be closed off.
Yeah.
Other items, should I carry on with other stuff in my report?
Yeah, and then we'll come back to that.
Yeah. I contacted a lifeguard. We have one lifeguard that wants to return, and he in his email said yes, he'd be interested in returning if we open the pool, and he would work with Paul on getting the pool set up, do the painting, and important thing is to develop some guidelines for COVID. I looked around online, and the Life Saving Society of BC prepared guidelines for their pools, and it would be the same thing here. We'd have to develop pretty close to the same guidelines as them. And there's other places that are looking at some guidelines for their pools. So if we bring the pool on side, you got to remember we have just about 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks before July 1st, when we usually do open the pool. So all this has to be done right away. And, you know, again, you have to decide what you want to do. The final thing, the fire hall knotweed, it started to grow back. The grass started to grow. They've been watering all the time, the sod that went in there. It's looking pretty good. The sod's starting to take. It's unfortunate we had a really dry spring, and there were forest fires around the province. That's how dry it was. In this area, there was a fire. But now we got some good rain. The seed on top started to take. And I asked All Outdoors. I spoke with Bill about it. And because the knotweed's starting to grow so fast, I had All Outdoors cut the knotweed, trim it up there. And they gave me a price of $300 to mow and weed whack around the area. And we would only have to cut it maybe every 2 or 3 weeks. Right now in the spring, when everything starts going pretty fast, start growing, it'll be every 2 weeks or next couple weeks or next month. And then after that, we could go to once every 3 weeks. So
wasn't that part of the remediation? So wasn't that part of the remediation plan, was to get it all dug up and then just continue with the mowing?
It was a plan, but this is a new year, new budget.
Right. So that's not in this year's budget too for the mowing?
We could, but there's money in the budget for landscaping. We can take it
right from there. I guess the other question is, I believe it's Elaine Collicutt that does all her other mowing.
Yeah, she was contacted.
Okay.
I contacted her to get a quote for her price because she cuts around the fire hall, everything else. She came in, I wasn't here, and haven't heard from her since. So all I can do is just keep trying again to say, hey, how much to cut that with your other work? The question to the commission is, do you want us to keep cutting it?
Yes.
Okay. Now, back to the pool. First off, I guess what the pleasure is, do you want to go with concrete or do you want to go with piles and then deck it over? Any comments or thoughts? That's the first.
Just maybe add a comment. That's not in the budget. And we could need another motion to take the money out of the reserve, the pool reserve, to pay for the costs.
Now we got to make a decision if we're going to do it right, bango, right now first.
Yeah.
So, and which way we want to move. Now, the way I see it, there's three. You bring a carpenter in and they section that area off so the public can't get there. Which I think is going to interfere with operations around there. That's the first thing. Second thing, we can move ahead, demo that out and rebuild, or just demo it out and leave it sectioned off until next year. It means it's a lot of stuff to make a decision in 2 weeks. Either way, I will tell you it's on set. And if somebody gets messing, kids get messing, the first thing we're going to have an insurance claim.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say there's that. I agree with you on that. I thought that we had discussed rebuilding that section, if I'm thinking of the right section. Is that where we were thinking of putting in changing rooms as well?
Yes.
And what happened with that project? Did we decide against it?
No, I just think it lay dormant due to COVID.
That was on the wish list.
Yeah, the COVID virus got. So, but now, I mean, which way do we want to go? Piles and the decking, those changing rooms are just changing rooms that you should be able to just move in with a backhoe and sit it on top of this thing or near this thing. What's your thoughts?
Well, I have a question with regard to the two quotes. Mm-hmm. One I'm thinking is a wooden crib and the other is a concrete crib. Is that what is being proposed?
Sort of. Not a wooden crib. It would be steel piles driven in, probably filled with concrete. Am I right, Martin? Michael? Billy? And then the decking would attach. Very similar to a lot of the wharves that they're building now, like down in, in front of your place. Down in front of the fire memorial, there's a couple of steel piles in there. I mean, you can make them even more expensive, but a lot of the wharves are being built that way. Opposed to the one Mason said, in the big block of concrete, which that's their business. I could see them more than saying that. But there's 10 grand difference.
And well, the 10 grand difference might cover the cost of changing rooms.
That's correct. That's just what I was about to say.
Yeah. And the other point is that with the social distancing, we're not going to be able to open the washrooms if we do open the pool, so people won't be able to change. So that would make the changing rooms a lot more important this year. Yeah.
Now, we don't know what's going to happen on the 15th. They may throw out this temporary emergency legislation. They may come back. They're probably still going to come back with the 6-foot rule. But at where I work, they're starting to look at, can we put people on the van and not maintain the 6-foot rule? Still be classified, still sell it to the government as being safe. So we don't know what. That's the problem with all this COVID stuff. The government will come along and say, oh yeah, you can open the pool, but by the way, you've got to send to us protocols that we approve, and which you might think they're going to approve, and they might say, no, we're not going to approve that. And
well, there has been
Go ahead.
There has been a plan approved.
When?
As of June 9th, there was a link in the package, but because it was a copy, it wasn't there. So anyway, it's from Swim Nova Scotia.
Mm-hmm. I never saw that or heard of it, but go ahead.
Yeah. Swim Nova Scotia's return to swimming plan has been reviewed and accepted by Nova Scotia's Chief Medical Officer of Health, and we are now on approved activity to begin no sooner than June 22nd, 2020. So it's been, it's been approved, the plan. Some of the conditions are adhering to provincial gathering limits. So you'd be allowed to have no more than 10 people in the pool. Social distancing would have to be maintained. Hygiene. So there's a list of things that have to be followed, rules that have to be followed in order to open. But it looks like that plan has been approved.
I have a question. Why wouldn't the washrooms be open?
Well, the washroom, if we're willing to hire the staff that every time somebody goes in the washroom, somebody goes.
Exactly.
You have to have a male and a female hired, or I guess no matter,
Or a guard at the door to count how many people go in and how many people go out.
Yeah, all that stuff, and clean it after it, every time somebody goes in.
So it goes back to the question, are we opening the washrooms and are we opening the pool? Or are we going to let everybody swim in the ocean with the sharks?
I have a question. As right off the bat, opening the pool is a lot of it is for a swimming lesson. So has Darcy even gotten to the stage of having people sign up?
Last time I talked to her, no.
Okay, so that means then that the swimming lessons are going to be a no-go. So it will be open just for the general public. And if the COVID keeps going the way it's going, there's not going to be a lot of general public. And since you need all this work done and you have the opportunity to shut it down and get on it, maybe we should look at just shutting it down and get at it.
Well, also shutting it, and I don't want to use this word, but if we proceed with the work during this COVID time, we may be able to get it. Open it up, but things may change. You might be able to open up August and have the work all done. I guarantee you next year, if we wait till next year to get this work done, you'd be lucky to open up July 1st because there's a lot of work. So, you know, what's your pleasure? That's the thing. What's your pleasure?
Well, maybe we should take this COVID opportunity to get to keep the pool closed and get the work done. And
yeah, and then with the future, come August, we may be able to, you know, COVID might be gone as we know it now. Not likely, but it might be. But I'd like to see that. I know one thing, one way or the other. Somebody that has to be sectioned off that nobody gets hurt. And it'd be nice if they come in and did work right now and we bite the bullet and make a better complex.
It is an opportune time to do it. A lot of municipalities have, like Halifax HRM, some of their pools are totally shut down and they're working on the pools. Other cities are doing the same thing. You're not going to get this opportunity where the public will, you're shutting the pool. Well, now everybody has found other things to do, and liquor sales are up. So we know what some of the population's doing. And, you know, it's a great time to get the work done. Yeah. It's a big hazard over there. We do have money in the reserves for it, and that's what it's for.
I agree, Dennis.
Those are all good points because it does – you know, a lot of good points have been made besides yours. So shutting it down, getting the work done there's a lot of good reasons for, as you mentioned, Bill, we could have a huge liability there if some kid decided to climb whatever barriers we put up and got hurt. So I'd be prepared to make that motion.
One last question. Do we have to go to tender for this? We got two quotes that we know of. Do we have to go to tender?
No, you got two good quotes.
Hallie, be quiet.
Yes, dear.
That's the dog I'm babysitting. Anyway, okay, first let's see. Which one do you want to take? Land and Seas?
Who can do it?
Both of them can do it. One's in concrete at 30.
Who is available to do it?
Dennis would have to make a phone.
Yeah, I'd call them. But the point is, you know, give me first choice. You know, I would say my opinion is Land and Sea because it is a good price. And like Joanne mentioned, the extra money we're saving, okay, we're looking at change rooms. And I wanted to mention change rooms. If you go to Tantallon Outdoor Pool, the change room is just a little box that you go in and you just have privacy. You know, it doesn't even have a roof on it. So the water goes down and, you know, we have such a big problem up in the washrooms with everybody changing in the washroom. And the water's all over the floor at times and it's just a mess, you know? So You know, perhaps if we do some work to the pool, okay, put the change rooms in. I could find out from the contractors how much more to do that. And perhaps put some hooks or some kind of boxes for kids to put their belongings in. Some hooks for their clothes outside on the rail or somewhere. Do something. Try to make the pool better for next year and for the many years.
Okay, let's go with your first choice, Dennis, and move forward.
Land and sea?
Yeah. Land and sea, yeah.
I'll get back to you on it. I'll keep you informed when they can start, exactly if their price did go up, exactly what they're doing, you know, more detail of the work. And if other things can be done, let me know. And, you know, the other thing, too, is that you should be out there at the pool taking a look at what's being done and making suggestions. Okay, can we do something else, you know, to make it better?
Well, I like your idea, Dennis, about that just that cubicle with open to the sky, and we can see people's feet underneath on the dirt, whatever have you. Cheap, cheerful, and effective.
Yeah.
Not so, very much money either.
So. No. So motion.
Need a motion.
Joanne moved, I thought. Yeah.
What? Michael, you had a thing to say?
Yes. Should we also get Martin to see if it's possible to get the accessibility ramp or lift or something installed at the same time?
We can certainly investigate into this, yes.
That's not a bad idea, because it's going to ease the pain of the pool being closed when people see the amount of work that's being done, the improvements that are being done.
Yeah.
You know, we did provide everybody with, at one meeting, we had a map of a lift that a pole that, with straps, and you just put it into the side of the pool, swing the person out, and crank them down into the water. And that comes out every fall, every winter, every end of the summer, it comes out and you store it away like anything else.
Yeah.
You know, there are other things too that need to be done there. And you, I don't know if you did hear about the bees on the side of the wall. There's open places along that wall that need to be patched up.
No honey?
No, I know honey. If there was, there'd be a bear.
Yeah.
But, you know, things like that can be done so we don't have to worry about it again.
What kind of bees are they? Like hornets, wasps, bumblebees, honeybees?
I think they last year or the year before they were wasps.
Ew.
Yeah. Well, all those things, maybe as the days go, a few days, people can take a hoof down there and have a look. And maybe come up with some good ideas.
Yeah, and the residents, when they see what's being done in the final product, they're going to love it. They're going to say, hey.
So we got a motion on the floor. I don't remember the seconder.
Who moved it?
I thought Michael.
Joanne. I thought I did.
Okay.
Okay, Joanne?
Yeah.
Second.
Nancy, second. All those in favor?
Aye.
And Dennis, you keep us in touch or in tune so we don't stray off the path.
Can I just ask, what was the motion?
I thought it was a valid question.
$28,000.
So nothing.
Other work. Change. Limited budget for other work.
Okay.
So before we leave this, can I ask one question about the accessibility part of it? We're at 28,000, but if it's going to be extra work done onto it, we need to come back to the commission with price, because I like the idea of the pylons as opposed to concrete, so we can adjust height, make it better for the ramps and such. And but that being said, it's going to cost probably a few more dollars to go a little higher with your pylons, make it all work. So I'll get a hold of Brent Haas, take him for a stroll down there and see what his thoughts are on ramp and such to meet the building codes. And also Johnny DeWolf at Landon. See, I know him, so I'll hook up with him and see what his thoughts are.
Yeah, also ramps can be tricky.
What ramps are we talking about? Where?
Well, if we put a ramp in for wheelchairs aren't going in the pool. So I'm not sure how a ramp is going to solve our problem about accessibility. Whereas a lift, and you pick the person up, unless we buy some wheelchairs that we don't care are going to get rusted and ruined, but the average person not going to put a $2,000 wheelchair down that pool.
But you need a ramp to get to the lift.
I'm not talking that. I'm talking to get to the pool to begin with.
To get to
the lift.
Okay. So then we put them in. We at that same time, which is minor, we'll have to have some flotation devices for them. That's all.
So that's one of the reasons I want to bring Brent Haas in to discuss whether it's even feasible and possible to do it on that end, or we should go to the other end of the pool, closer to the old wharf there, and look at doing it there.
Yeah, good idea. So we've got moved and we got second, and we're all in favor?
Aye.
Great. And as far as the pool opening, that's in time to come. We'll see. Where are we at? We need a motion on the book treasure, report.
What about the knotweed? Do we need anything on that?
Well, it's been banged down and it's going to grow back up. And Dennis is going to try to talk to Elaine and see what she says.
But in the meantime, I'll make sure it's mowed.
Yeah. Okay, that's all we need.
And I plan to go get some of the small shoots and eat and boil them up and cook them because they're the tender ones.
And they're supposed to be very good for you.
Yes, that's right. I'll live to be 110 if I start eating that. Where are we at? Okay, so we need a motion on the clerk treasurer report, please. And thank you, Dennis.
I'll make the motion on the clerk treasurer report.
Moved by Martin, seconded by Michael. All those in favor?
Aye.
Carried. Okay, that's from 18 to 21. 22 to 29 is the financial statement, bank statement. Okay. You want to include the audited financial statement all in that one package?
No.
Okay.
Now, I just want to mention that from our audit, and the auditor saying that because there's so many questions on finances and checks being written and everything, and because we have five commissioners that have signing authority, I won't be signing any checks anymore. We'll call in two commissioners to sign the checks.
Okay.
And secondly, when it comes to payroll, because there's so many questions on salaries, I get paid too much. And with all these questions, for now on, when it's payroll has to be made, we'll be calling someone in to review and approve payroll. That's just information.
Hey, thank you, Dennis.
Okay.
Now, financial statement, banks, transactions, May 2020, and they're on pages 22 to 29, respectively, in our package. And again, if people had a chance to sort of browse over that, please.
Well, Dennis, I would like to say again what a great job you've done on the financial reporting for this month.
Thank you.
It's a wonderful improvement. But I do have a question. There was a check written for Taylor McClellan Cochran for $759, but it's not entered in the comparative income statement. Are you testing us to make sure that we're reading it?
Where's that check on page 29? The check? Oh, I see it, Taylor. Okay. That's our, is that our lawyer?
Yes. Lawyer.
Yep. It should be under legal.
Yeah, but it's not. I think.
Okay, I'll look into it.
I think you're just doing that to test us to see if we're reading.
No, I wouldn't do that, but I'll check it. Right now, the budget on the financials, it shows budget 2020 to 2021. That's not our budget. I didn't change it.
Okay.
Until we approve our budget, then I'll go in and enter the numbers.
Okay.
The other thing is, since our audit meeting, I have entered all the adjustments from the auditor.
Mm-hmm.
All the accounts have been adjusted as of March 31st. I did a trial balance. It balanced perfectly.
Yay.
And the other thing is, I said to Lawrence that there were some outstanding checks that were just hanging on there. I tried to clear them out once. And with the year end, they are closed out now. There's three entries that were made to get rid of the old ones that were there.
Okay.
There's no reason to have 2019 sitting there.
I'm sorry, I do have another question with regard to checks. I see checks are written to the fire chief. What's the status with regard to the CBFD visa?
I might be able to put my two cents in there. I was talking to Everett about that the other day, and apparently John has told him that he can't get one. Now, that's not what. That's not what I understood. Because it's just a tag on to the village one.
Right.
And I just haven't had a chance to go and see John and ask what the hell's going on.
John sent me an email and said that they can't issue one for Everett because he already has one from Scotiabank. And it was approved by two members of the fire department. And I've got the email from him.
So
Everett has a personal credit card from the Scotiabank? Or
no, one through the fire department.
Okay.
The account.
You have to take that up with the bank.
The account for the fire department have nothing to do with the commission. So I'm not sure why he would disclose that information outside of the department's accounts.
We're going to deal with it.
It's a visa's decision. Visa says that a person is only to have one credit card through one institution. That's it. You could have it for a spouse or another person, as you know, but for the same individual, no, they say only one. And that was in writing from John.
Okay. I'll go talk to him and clarify it.
Right on.
It doesn't make sense. It's just a tag on to the village card, but I don't. We'll look into it.
I do have a question. Okay, what's the accountability with respect to credit cards? Because just seeing a payment isn't enough. Don't we see the credit card statements?
I would say we're going to start seeing them. My understanding from what Lawrence said, we will see them. We'll see something to support the reason why a check was written.
Yeah, I'd really appreciate that because we should have the same level of oversight as in former days when POs were used.
Yeah. I agree, Joanne.
We still use POs.
Okay, so why are we going? I know we've had this discussion, and I don't want to dig too deeply into it again because we've already had it. Why are we switching from POs?
Well, we still do have them.
Yes,
but why some people want to get paid right away? If you order things online or something, they want their money right away.
Thank you for the reminder.
Yeah, that's why.
Yeah. Okay.
And they charge more. If you pay them right away, they're going to charge you more for a credit card than, you know, by check, because they have to pay their fees to the credit card company.
Right.
Anyway. Any other questions? If not, we'll get on 7B, the financial statement bank transaction. We'll get a motion for that, please.
So move with the correction.
What's the correction?
Correction was
$759 entered in the comparative income statement under legal.
Yeah. What page is that?
Page 29.
Actually, it's not page 29.
No, that's the general ledger report.
It is page 23, I think. Under administration. Professional fees dash legal, page 23.
Okay.
One, two, three, four.
Five. Okay.
Yep. Okay.
Okay, so that's that 759 check that was on page 29 or something. Okay, thank you.
So we need a motion to approve with the change.
Didn't I just do that?
I didn't hear it.
Yes, I did.
Okay, seconder then, please.
Joanne.
Thank you. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Gary. Now we got the audit financial statement. March 31st, it's the draft from Morris Brewster Lake, pages 30 to 45, so it's quite in depth. It was explained to us all.
It was explained very thoroughly.
Yeah.
I'll move to accept the audited financial statement.
Oh my God.
Thank you.
My heart.
The draft, just include the draft.
Yes. Yeah. Michael.
I'll second it.
There you go, Michael. Thank you.
Quick.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Gary. Okay, that takes care of that. Oh, we're down to fire chief. Still with us, Everett?
There we go.
There we go.
Good evening, commissioners. Once again, it's great to see you're all well. Members of CVFD continue to avoid contact with COVID-19. This past month has been one for the record books for the fire service and MODC, with the largest forest fire the municipality has potentially ever seen, combined with the largest mutual aid response to ever be within our district. Equipment and operations, we've had 13 dispatches since last meeting, 5 forest slash brush slash grass fires, 2 vehicle fires, 1 rope rescue, 2 chimney fires, 1 structure fire mutual aid, 1 alarm, and 1 medical. 571, that's the Boston Whaler, is in the water and ready to respond from Heisler's Boatyard. We're currently tracing an issue with the marine radio, which may require us to replace the antenna and or the radio unit. 521 has undergone and passed inspection with minimal required repairs. All but 2 of our Scott SCBA passed annual flow testing. The 2 that failed will be decommissioned and the parts used to keep the current SCBA operational until replacements. The gauge board console in our current SCBA is no longer available and has been discontinued by Scott Safety. So that's why those packs will be used as parts to keep the other ones running. Practices and training, CVFD's Monday evening practical training sessions continue to be suspended due to the coronavirus pandemic. Members exercised 571 for the first time this season and took the opportunity to train some of our new members on the operation while practicing safe distancing and wearing masks. As well, members continue to take advantage of the free online courses offered by the Nova Scotia Firefighter School as part of the Fire Service Association's insurance levy program. Thank you all. Respectfully, Everett Hiltz.
Any questions? If not, we need a motion to accept the chief's report, please.
Let's hear it from the men. Yay, Michael.
Yeah. I second.
Michael and Martin. Thank you. Michael will move. Martin will second. Chief's report. Thank you, Everett.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Okay, we're moving. You all right, Joe? You look sad. You're going to have to hang tough for a bit. Okay, into H. New and other business. Request for decision on the budget. And that's 46 to 55. The budget's been gone over back and forth. I know that Lawrence Lake looked at it a little briefly. And so I'm going to take it to the floor. If anybody has any further questions, if not, I will ask for a motion to pass this budget.
I have a question, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
Is the rate sheet part of the budget, or is the rate sheet passed and passed separately?
Dennis?
I didn't put it in this one, but under the recommendations, the rate sheet, the village rate is there. Number 5 on page 47. And it's the same village rate as the last 2 years.
Yes. My problem with the rate sheet is that the capital and operating expenditures for the fire department and the general government totals are different. Those three categories, the amounts in those three categories are different this year than they were last year. So I think that the rate sheet has to reflect those different totals per category. With the current rate sheet, the general government at 7.77 cents brings in 295,000, but we don't need 295,000 for general government. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I'll review it and bring it back.
Thank you.
Jesus.
All right. Okay. So we're going to bring it back to the...
We don't have to bring back the budget. We just have to bring back the rate sheet to reflect the expenditures in the budget.
Then somebody...
I'll do it, we accept the budget.
All right. Thank you. We got it moved. Need a seconder, please.
I'll second that.
Michael, thank you. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carried.
But we'll discuss the rate sheet.
Yeah, he'll take care of the rate sheet.
Thank you.
Now we need 8B is a request for a decision. They amended to the reserve policy. It's 56 and 57. Item 56, 57 in your package. And that's, I do believe, is because we brought in the 50,000 for, what was it?
Emergency medical services.
Yeah, the building.
Yeah.
So, if everybody had a chance to read it, it would be great. But what it is, we got to bring the policy into alignment with what we're doing.
I have a question if nobody else does.
Okay, let's hear you.
9.1 says, in reviewing this, it caused me to look back at the operating reserve section of the policy. But 9.1 says, the village shall maintain a balance equal to 50,000. Similarly, in the operating reserve, the village shall maintain a balance equal to 100,000. Does that mean that we cannot have more than 50,000 in the emergency medical reserve or more than 100,000 in the operating reserve? And should that wording be changed to no less than 50,000 and no less than 100,000?
You do have a point.
Well, I do believe we talked about the EMC building at setting it at 50,000 and working up not to exceed 50,000. And that's what I believe that the discussion was the last time. So okay. What you're talking is changing the discussion again. Now the operating reserve, I have to go to Dennis on that. Something tells me that I remember us getting lectured years ago by municipal affairs in operating that there's a limit to what we can put in there. Now, don't quote me for that, but Dennis, are we anywhere there near that?
I don't believe so. they've seen our finances and they know what we have in reserves. Mm-hmm. They would have said something if we were.
All I know is back in the day, years ago, they very carefully discussed it and said we're not allowed to have lots of money in the operating reserves or in reserves, period, but we do have a lot of money in reserves.
Bill, wasn't that for the fire trucks?
No, that the discussion happened because of the fire trucks. Remember, we were at the fire hall, you were there.
And
he said, and the guy said to Chris, I think his name was, he said to us, I understand you guys bought a new fire truck. And yeah, well, you do understand that I have to sign your paperwork to buy a new fire truck and borrow the money. And that's when Brenda stepped in and Brenda said, why would we borrow money when we got paid cash? And he said, you paid cash? And that's when he said, you really shouldn't be having big, large sums in reserve. So I don't know. But anyway, I mean, we can change the wording for the operating reserve to read as you said. You know, I don't think it's going to hurt anything to the anything, but make the changes now and then get this thing approved.
Well, when the operating reserve was first established, this was when Forrest was the clerk treasurer. He made it very clear that under no circumstances was the operating reserve to fall below $100,000.
Okay, well then that's a good reason to change your wording. I don't remember Forrest saying that, but then again, I wasn't with him all that time. So, can we change that wording, Dennis?
Yeah, what's the wording?
The
operating reserve.
The village shall maintain a balance equal to or no, forget equal to, no less than $100,000.
The balance no less than?
$100,000.
Okay. And same thing for the EMC, EMS, maintain a balance no less than, right, 50,000?
Myself, I wouldn't change that one. I'd change the operating one, but I wouldn't change that one.
Yeah.
We don't need piles of money sticking in there.
So we just put equal,
But what, Bill, what happens if next year we have to spend a pile of money on the property and the building that costs $45,000? That drops that reserve down to $5,000.
Nancy, the property itself is only basically what the building and what people park on. I can't imagine you have to spend massive amounts of money.
Okay, fine.
That's all I'm saying. Because I'm just reluctant that if in some everything is a minimum, in order to maintain a minimum, you might have to raise taxes to maintain the minimum.
But we get $23,000 a year from EMC in rent.
Oh, I know that.
And we've got $46,000 or whatever we already had in that checking account, right, Dennis?
Yeah. But this year's budget, we budgeted and put $10,000 in.
Right.
So that's a start towards the 50. Mm-hmm. So what's the wording there? We leave it the same, maintain a balance equal to 50,000?
If I'm possible. Not going to argue that one.
The problem being is, and maybe I'm all wrong here, but, you know, that revenue that comes in can be used because it's like renting a house or owning a house. You take the rent, sometimes you might put it back in the property and sometimes you might use it in something else. So if we're getting $23,000 in, we're venturing down a road which is going to cost this village a lot of money. So if we get $23,000 there and we make this wording in such a fashion that we must maintain $50,000, and let's say the new fire hall comes along and we need 20,000 of the 23 rent.
Okay, Bill.
That's all I'm saying.
I'm not going to argue that point.
Okay. You don't want to cut your throats too much. It's revenue. Same as I wish we had 10 of those buildings. But go ahead.
So we're going to leave that the same?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Any other questions on the policy? Because
I just need a motion.
I do have one.
Okay.
Apparently, not everybody read it. Look at number 8, reserve, utility reserve for water. And it states number 8.2, this reserve receives funds from a monthly rental payments into a separate bank account.
Well, good.
That must have been a typo. So in this amendment, I'm going to take 8.2 out because it doesn't apply to that one.
Thank you. Thank you for bringing that to our attention.
No matter how many times you read it, you just miss it sometimes.
You earned a day of your week's salary. So.
I do have one more question, sorry.
Okay.
Under guidelines, where did I read it? It says on the date of the first draw, the surplus funds left will be transferred in to reserves. Oh.
I think the dog thinks. Well,
Sorry, I can't find it. Forget it. I'll bring it up later.
Okay. So nobody else got a problem with this Village of Chester Reserve Fund policy. So can I have a motion to approve the policy with the changes to 6? i.e. the 100,000 and 8.2 eliminated.
I move.
Michael moved.
I second.
Martin second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Okay, now we're talking, this is this low income property tax exemption policy. This is a copy of the one that the municipality has. And Joanne was the first one that brought this up. And talking to Dennis a couple of times, thought it'd be a good thing to bring. And has anybody got any comments on it? Because
if I may, Bill.
Yeah,
I was in the process of redoing it, and I checked the MODC website, and they have amended this policy. It's the same policy. The only thing they changed on this policy was on page 59, our page 59, their page 3. They are the dollar amounts for owners, the income levels. They've changed those.
They've increased them, right?
Yes. Yeah. Good. So what I was going to do, if you want to, you're not approving the policy today, but I want your permission to go ahead and do a policy similar to this and bring it back to the next meeting.
That sounds good to me.
Anybody else have a problem?
Let me ask you what the benefit of this is. This is a grant availability for taxes, property taxes. It's the municipality that sends out the property tax bill, which includes the village portion. If a person is applying for relief, are we not automatically included in that relief package?
No, not theirs. No, I talked to Malcolm about it. He said they have their own policy, and he gave me this one.
Okay.
And he said they would be, because, you know, they're a separate entity, they would have no problem distributing our policy to our taxpayers in the village. And they would adjust the taxes for the residents that qualify. Now, to review, if you notice on page 59, and it does say the director of finance of the municipality shall grant the exemption as follows, according to the guidelines. So that I would put myself in.
Okay.
I would put myself as clerk treasurer base, and I would have to follow whatever you decide. I'll make suggestion according to the municipality, but decide what you decide. I can't have commissioners look at everybody's application for relief,
right,
because that's confidential information.
Agreed.
That's something I can't give out to anybody. Who right. applied, how much income they make, anything like that.
And I really don't want to know.
Right.
Not my business, so. But it just personally want to be able, somebody needs relief, they need relief.
Okay, thank you.
So I'll bring that back to the next meeting.
Okay. Thank you very much. Now, before we talk to Michael, is there anything else anybody would like to check on? Any thoughts, worries? I should have opened the meeting by asking how everybody is doing the COVID day.
Well, nobody asked me how my haircut looked. I had to go all the way to New Brunswick to get it.
Okay.
Now you have to quarantine James for 2 days.
Bill, you get yours. That's
mine's starting to fall out, so it'll cut itself. So anyway, Michael, you got a question or answer, or you're going to take the lead here?
Bill, I'd just like to say thank you to the fire chief for his effort in refining the budget for the fire hall. It looks very good.
Okay. Good words, Michael.
Okay.
You have anything else to say, Michael?
Should I?
Well, I think so.
Oh. If there's no further business, I'd like to call this meeting adjourned if possible.
Thank you. Adjourned at 8:27 p.m.
Well done, everybody.
Excellent.
Good work done. Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.